Misty, since coronavirus has kind of become a little bit more, we're more adjusted to it anyway. You said you and Jeff own a farm. Have y'all been a little bit more busy here of late?
Well, you know, the quarantine doesn't affect much on the farm. We're pretty much quarantined anyway most of the time. But my busyness has increased just because school is back in session now, so I have Logan during the week.
Oh, okay. So you are in full-time daycare now.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's really a blessing, isn't it?
Whenever it is, absolutely.
Able to care for your children or your grandchildren in your case. You know, we're going to kind of talk about that here a little bit, about kind of being present as a godly trait. But, when you and I talk, if I was to ask you this morning, put you on the spot, what do you consider as godly characteristics?
Well, when you told me what your sermon was going to be about, it brought to mind the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians, and I wrote them down.
Okay.
Because I knew if I sat up here, I would forget. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if I were to add a few more favorites, it would be prayerful, forgiving, thankful, and content.
Okay. Well, I was going to tell you that those were good answers, but let me correct that and say those are biblical good answers.
Thank you.
Yeah. Friends, I've asked Missy these questions this morning to help set the tone for our time together during the sermon time of our worship. We know that the Bible tells us repeatedly throughout that God is always present with us. I mean, from the beginning, the book says that God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And then as we move on in the book, we see that God is being present with the Jews through not only a localized presence through the Ark of the Covenant, but also in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And then if we move over into the New Testament, we see that Jesus of Nazareth was born, right? And he is God in the flesh walking with us. And then on the day of Pentecost, right, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon humanity so that God may dwell in the hearts and minds and souls of all of individuals. So I mention all this just to simply say this morning that I believe one of the godliest traits a person can have is to be intentional about being present. Being present. In fact, that's the title of our sermon today, Being Present. Let me tell you why I think this is so important, so relevant for this morning. I know that since the start of school, that the new normal that is emerging with COVID-19, I am beginning to have more and more duties placed back upon me, whether that be local church duties or district administrative duties, and as well as trying to plan for ministry events as we continue to move forward or with the rest of year 2020. And so I find myself once again being tempted to embrace the busyness of life rather than the practice of being fully present with God, others, and myself. You know, it reminds me of the story about a father and a daughter having a conversation. The story goes like this. The father was at home taking care of his 5-year-old daughter. And his daughter was in a very talkative mood, and daddy was busy doing, you know, that thing where part of his mind is aware that his daughter is present and she's speaking, and the other part of the mind is on what he wants to be doing. And he thought he was doing really good at going, oh, really? Oh, did you do that? As acting as if he was fully present. Finally, the child stops her conversation and goes and grabs her daddy's head between her hands. And she says, "Daddy, listen to me with your eyes." It was the only way that she knew to tell the difference between her father's distracted listening versus her daddy being fully present. Now listen, if you will allow me to once again be transparent and confess my shortcomings, if you were to ask my family, They would tell you that I suffer from the sin of never being fully present. Even when I'm home to visit, or if me and T are on vacation, or I'm just trying to spend quality time with Cheyenne and Jason and Bo, or other loved ones, I should also add. My mind is always on the things that I failed to accomplish prior to my arrival, or my mind is always contemplating and planning for the future to make this church more relevant, not only for the community, but for all who worship and participate with worship through Green Forest United Methodist Church. Now, I confess this simply to say that the challenge of busyness is not anything new to the body of Christ. And with our world adjusting to our new reality, if you allow me, I'm going to assume, those present and those watching, that you are going to have a renewed temptation to be more attentive in the busyness of life than being fully present with God, others, or yourself. So that's why I thought it was apropos this morning to preach on this topic, and also apropos to look at a very common story of Jesus visiting Mary and Martha's house. You may remember it's in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. That's the scriptures we're going to read this morning. So those of you who are present, I'm going to ask that you join me in reading these verses on the screen behind us. And for those of you at home, Dave is going to place them on the screen for you now. Starting in verse 38, scripture says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' And the Lord responded, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" We always conclude our reading here at Green Forest United Methodist Church with the words, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and everyone responds,
"Thanks be to God."
Thank you. Will you join me in prayer, please? Oh Lord, your word is so rich with wisdom and instruction. It's insightful to the will and plan you have for our lives. It's insightful to what it means to have godly character. And sometimes, Lord, when we look at your word, it can just seem to be black letters on white paper. But I pray today, God, that that is not so for all who are joining us this morning. That your Holy Spirit will take these words that have been inspired by you and inspire them within us in our own hearts, so that we may be intentional in the days ahead to practice the traits, your traits, so that others will know why it is so important and relevant to have a relationship with you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, I shared already why I felt led to preach this sermon in part. But there's also another contributing factor that I have not shared, and I want to now. A few days ago, friends, I had to return home to a celebration of life ceremony for a family friend of mine who was like an uncle. And as I left the service and made the drive from Little Rock back to Green Forest, I reflected upon everything that was shared about Keith by his children, his grandchildren, his family, and his friends. And the resounding theme in that service was the acknowledgement and impact of Keith being fully present. I knew then, on that ride home that afternoon, that regardless of what I might do or might try to do for a local church, or what my ministries I may contribute to and trying to make them more efficient, or even dollars that I might raise to complement a food ministry, those things will never compare to me being fully present with God, others, and myself. You see, in our reading, we see two sisters who have been contrasted in sermons by others as to what some perceive right versus wrong behavior. And I think it is unresponsible to compare the women's actions and then state that the one that was not busy is the right one. I mean, Lord knows, every church, every ministry, every Christian action must have movers and shakers. So I'm not against being a doer. For those of you who know me, and those of you who don't know me that are watching, I am a doer. But I also know that I can be more about doing than I am about feasting on the presence of God. I will say that Martha was not present in the moment while Mary was. Martha was consumed with the busyness of future possibilities that robbed her of the immediate connection with Jesus and others. Even, I would go as far as to say, even with herself. Her loss of connection was manifested with frustration and worry, evident by the words that we read in verse 40. When she goes to Jesus and says, "Don't you care that Mary's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." You see, her distractions over the preparation disabled her to be fully present with Jesus, with her sister, and her own experiences with the Lord. Now, I highlight that again to simply say, friends, I believe there's a tragic warning in these verses, a tragic warning for all of us. And that warning is this: could it be that you and I are so busy with life that the very Christ could visit our homes, and even then we would be distracted? Or maybe I should put it another way. Could it be that God comes near to us every day, and we're just too distracted and too busy to notice? You see, practicing being present, friends, is a godly trait that I think every follower must seek to embrace. For when you and I are fully present in the moment, and I'll even say even savoring up to the time, even savoring the moment that's leading up to this moment of whatever that might be in your life, we obtain a higher level of satisfaction, allowing ourselves to have a richer experience and feel more fulfilled, as the event has not just simply come and gone as quickly. But to embrace the practice of this godly trait, it'll cost you something. It will require you to be vulnerable. It will require a considerable amount of your time and energy. It will require an effort from you. And it will require of us as individuals to face the truth that being fully present with God, others, and ourselves may expose one to truths that he or she may not be comfortable with. Yet Jesus reminds us in our reading that being fully present is the better choice. The time that God has allotted us, friends, is a precious commodity. And I want to encourage all, those present and those who are watching, do not let the busyness of life cause you to rush through or wish away life experiences. Savor the moments, even your moments of boredom, because God is present in them as well. You know, there's an old saying that's an idiom I used to hear when I was younger. That statement was, "That's the tail wagging the dog." The meaning to that phrase is this: something or someone of importance being controlled by something or someone of less importance. making it a priority to practice being present in this moment, present to the people we are with, present to ourselves, to our thoughts, our own intuitions, present to the Spirit of God, doing something new in our lives, should always supersede the busyness of our routines and the craziness of our schedules. When we seek to be intentional about gifting others with our complete presence, we're living into our own incarnation of the Word becoming flesh. We're being as godly as possible. So I challenge you this week, friends. In the midst of you working the farm, you working at the bank, you doing your hobbies and working on cars, teaching school, whatever it is, I challenge you to be fully present in the moment. Because God is not only wanting to speak to you, but He's wanting to speak through you to others. I offer this to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.